The Front Subsuit Front Appears leader says enemies are upset by Iranian nation's progress. Iran president attends Venezuelan president's funeral. Nam urges disarmament of world nuclear powers. Clashes continue between Syrian army troops and armed rebels. And two people are killed and at least 155 others injured in Egypt's clashes. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Neil Shitsas. Tehran's substitute Friday prayers leader, Ayatollah Muhammad Ali Mujahedi Kermani, says Islamic Republic achievements in various fields has made enemies desperate and angry towards Iranian nation. Addressing worshippers, Ayatollah Mujahedi Kermani said, Iranian nation's progress in the field of science roots in its hope for realization of Islamic revolution's holy ideals. He said sanctions are an excuse for the Western powers to put pressure on Iranian nation and force the people to stand against the governing system. But massive demonstrations marking the 34th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution proved the futility of their efforts. He also added that Iran's technological achievements and its international influence during the past three decades were so great. He also stressed that one of the key tools to reach the long-term goals of the Islamic Revolution is to create the spirit of hopefulness among the people. He said more advances on scientific progress, dignity of Iran and the Islamic world, dominance of religious discourse in the society, and the country's political influence in international arena are among wonderful instances of this hopefulness. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad participated in the state funeral for Venezuelan late President Hugo Chavez on Friday. President Ahmadinejad, along with most Latin American leaders, took turns to keep brief watches over the casket at Caracas's military academy.
Presidente de la República Islámica de Irán. Inicia la Guardia de Honor.
Upon arrival earlier on Friday, President Ahmadinejad said Chavez will never die. His soul and spirit are alive in the hearts of fighters. A total of 33 heads of states and 55 high-level international delegations from 54 countries and regions attended Chavez's funeral. More than 2 million mourners have already visited Chavez's body at a military academy in Caracas, where he is lying in state. The non-allied movement member states have stressed on the urgency of focus on nuclear disarmament with an NPT upcoming review conference. In an address to a meeting of NAM members at the UN premises, Iran's permanent ambassador to the United Nations, Mohammad Khazai, said NAM member states wanted a world free from nuclear weapons. He said the NAM also urges defining a process to help spread peaceful use of nuclear energy among NPT signatories. He stressed that any kind of review on NPT should include a process for disarmament of nuclear powers without discrimination. Rejecting any political interpretation of rights and obligations of NPT members by the NPT Review Conference, Khazai called for an effective and transparent review of the treaty. Khazai also emphasized that Iran believes that any selective reinterpretation of the country's rights and commitments would bear no result. Some 5,000 protesting mourners attended the funeral in the West Bank on Friday for a Palestinian who died of his wounds. Mohammed Asfour died on Thursday after being shot by Zionist regime forces in the occupied West Bank 2 weeks ago. Witnesses said to disperse the protesting mourners, the Zionist forces fired gas canisters and rubber bullets. Tension is rising before a visit by U.S. President Barack Obama to Al-Quds and Ramallah at the end of the month, an event which Hamas Prime Minister described it as something that has already failed.
As Palestinians, Arabs and Muslims, we must not hold hopes on such visits and we must not sell our people illusions. I urge the Palestinian Authority not to fall in the trap of illusion of the visit of the American president and not to close the door to Palestinian reconciliation.
The head of Damascus governor's office was killed on Friday when armed militants detonated a roadside bomb in his car. The armed men affixed the bomb on their car in the western Mushru Damar district in Damascus. The blast led to the immediate death of the official and the injury of a passerby. Also in Damascus, two mortar shells fired by rebels struck the March 8th complex of consumer services and its vicinity at the Zablatani area, only causing material damage. Another mortar landed near the Babasakir Cemetery in the Shakur district, injuring many people. Meantime, according to reports, the northeastern city of Al-Raqqa is facing heavy clashes between army troops and armed militants. The insurgents have overrun the city last week, and army reinforcements were sent to the city to dislodge the militants. The Syrian media also reported violent clashes in Damascus suburbs of Hajar al-Aswad and southern suburbs of Zamalka and Jabar. In the southern province of Daraa, clashes also took place south of the town of Jamla between militants and army troops after the insurgents attacked a military site in Abedin area. Meantime, a fire erupted on Friday in Jordan's Zaatari camp where thousands of Syrians who escaped their country's civil war are housed. The cause of the fire was not immediately known. No one was injured in the fire, but it caused anger among residents who live under difficult conditions as the camp struggles with a growing number of refugees. Jordanian officials say more than 400,000 Syrians have poured into the country since the start of the crisis 2 years ago. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees says 1 million Syrians have fled to neighboring countries, piling pressure on the country's neighbors.
Everyone who has honor is in Syria. Everyone in Jordan has no honor, ethics, or religion, or even compassion. Let's all go back to Syria. I will be the first in line.
Two people were killed after being injured in overnight clashes between security forces and protesters in Egypt's governorate of Port Said. According to Health Ministry, at least 155 people were also injured in similar clashes that started on Thursday afternoon and are still ongoing in Cairo and other governorates. It's said among the injured people, 141 were in Port Said, 8 in Garbia, and 6 in Cairo. The Suez Canal governorate of Port Said has been witnessing violent clashes between protesters and security forces since January. Egypt's police withdrew from Port Said on Friday, while the military took over the responsibility of security. The Interior Ministry said the withdrawal was aimed to calm tensions in the rest of the city. The latest development came ahead of a court ruling scheduled for March 9 over last year's soccer riots. And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Tehran substitute Friday prayer leader says enemies are upset by Iranian nation's progress. Iranian president attends Venezuelan president's funeral. NAM urges disarmament of world nuclear powers. Clashes continue between Syrian army troops and armed rebels. And two people were killed and at least 155 others injured in Egypt's clashes. A new report shows that almost half of the Portuguese are suffering from hypertension. My colleague has more details.
Almost half of the Portuguese population suffers from hypertension, but the proportion of patients being controlled quadrupled in a decade. Percentage of people with hypertension remains almost the same as in the last study made in 2003, around 42%. However, current investigation in the area indicates that the number of patients being medicated increased more than 25%. Also, during last year, the percentage of people who has controlled the disease using drugs was 4 times bigger than 10 years ago. What are the reasons for this pathology? Problem is in the youngest population who continues to ignore this pathology, even though it's during this age that this disease can be prevented.
Hypertension is a chronic disease, but it can be reversible. Most patients take drugs, but this pathology can be treated by just adopting a new lifestyle. Inês Sutil, Shabaki Kabar, Lisbon.
All Greek public archaeological sites and museums, including the Parthenon Temple at the Acropolis, were closed on Friday after the Culture Ministry called a snap 24-hour strike. Employees are on a strike over government's plans to change the ministry's organizational structure, disappointing tourists who came to see the antiquities. The striking employees stood in front of the gates of the site, turning away tourists and explaining to some the reasons for the strike. The strike comes as tourism in Greece was expected to bounce back in 2013, and an otherwise flat European market held back by the weak economic climate. Meantime, hundreds of employees from the world's largest steelmaker, ArcelorMittal, blockaded roads at the Belgian-Dutch border in protest at job cuts. Workers cut the busy crossing in both directions for a few hours, disrupting traffic as they unfurled banners and shouted slogans blaming politicians for not taking a harder stance on the issue.
Obviously, we have to apply some pressure, and on Europe as well, because by blocking our borders, we put Europe out as well, at least the 4 borders with our neighboring countries. So we hope that it will make Europe react.
In France, Peugeot Citroën workers occupied the headquarters of Metallurgy's Industries Union on Friday to protest about a planned factory closure. The factory employs 2,800 people and has been paralyzed for 8 weeks due to a strike by around 300 workers. Their demands include the appointment of a mediator to reopen negotiations over conditions of the closure.
We have been striking for 8 weeks, and I can assure you that we are not ready to stop. We are not ready to lower our arms. We are not ready to lower our heads, because what we're defending is ourselves, our families, and our children.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRIN in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Till then, take care and have a very great time. Goodbye.